Shavua Tov Rabotai. We are studying Sefer Tehillim. We are in the middle of Perek Nun Aleph, the Perek that Rabbeinu Yonah referred to as Perek HaTeshuvah, the chapter that talks about Teshuvah, because it's Yesod Musar De'ikare HaTeshuvah, because the fundamentals of Teshuvah are in this Perek. This was the Perek when David HaMelech wrote after Natan HaNavi comes to him and rebukes him about the sin that he committed with Bathsheba. The Midrash tells us that Natan HaNavi gave David a mashal. It's actually the Navi itself tells us this mashal. There was a wealthy man and he had a neighbor who was a poor man, a poor couple. And all the couple had to their name was a small little sheep. And they tended to it, and they took care of it, and they nurtured it. And the rich man one day was having a party, and he wanted to be a good host. He wanted to serve his guests meat, but he was too stingy to go into his own farm. So he went next door, and he stole the sheep of the poor man, and he slaughtered it, and he served it to his guests. So Natan HaNavi tells David HaMelech, what do you think about such a guy? So David HaMelech says, this guy over here, Hayav Mita, he's guilty, such a man, such a bad guy. Went and he stole the sheep from his neighbor. So Natan HaNavi says, Ata Ha'ish, you're the one. So what do you mean I'm the one? He says, you're the king. You can marry anybody you want. You had to go to the poor guy, Uriah. You had to take his wife. So David HaMelech immediately says, Hatati. I'm guilty. Now from the Mashal itself, you see that David HaMelech really didn't commit the sin that most people think he committed. Because if he committed adultery, this is not a good Mashal. That the mashal should have been that the neighbor went and took his friend's wife. But that's not the mashal. The mashal is he took his sheep. So it's avon, but it's stealing. So what's the law of stealing? You pay. The only reason why David HaMelech said you kill him because so you have to make a... sometimes when a person commits such a sin like that, you have to make an example. And the king has a right to make an example. So when Natan HaNavi says, you're the one, which means you committed such a similar sin, which means it's not a sin per se, but because you're the king, you have to be held by a higher accountability, therefore you're hayav. You see the power of a mashal. The Mefarshim explained with this, it says in the Mishnah Perkei Avot, Da lefne mi ata atid yiten din v'hashbon. The Mishnah says that you have to keep in mind that after 120 years, you're going to have to give deen and hashbon. Or who you're going to have to give deen and hashbon in front of. Deen is judgment. Hashbon is calculation. Generally speaking, when someone's on trial, they make the calculation first. They make the hashbon. You did this, you did that, you did the other thing. And after they tally up all his transgressions, they posek the deen, guilty. But why, when it comes to Atid Lavo, does it say it's going to be deen v'cheshbon? First they're going to say, guilty. Then they're going to say, okay, let's see what you did. So based on what we just said, we have an understanding. Person's going to come after 120 years. He's going to walk into the bed, deen, say, Baruch Abba, please sit. And you're going to be shaking. Oh, Hashem, I'm nervous, you're going to judge me. No. We want to ask you a question. Me, a question? Yeah, we heard you're such a smart guy. What's the question? There was a guy. He did such and such a thing, and he went such and such a place, and he did that. They're going to tell you a story about somebody else. And it's going to be a very bad story. And you're going to come along, and you hear the story, and God's going to ask you, what do you think we do to such a person? Well, there's a person, Rasha Mirusha, Hayav. And then what is Borei Olam going to say? Ataha Ish. You're the one. And therefore, it's deen. The hashbon. You're going to make the deen on somebody else. And then once you judge somebody else making deen, they're going to come along and say, aren't you the same? This is the story of your life. And therefore, we're going to be posek our own judgment, just like David HaMelech, alav shalom. That's what it means. We're going to give the deen, and God is going to make the hashbon. But of course, David HaMelech was exonerated from this sin, and one of the reasons was because he confessed it immediately. As opposed to Shaul HaMelech, if you remember in the story of Shaul HaMelech, he also committed a sin. He left Agag, the king of Amalek, alive, as well as the animals, which he was told by Shmuel to kill the animals. He didn't kill the animals. When he comes back from the war, Shmuel HaNavi rebukes Shaul HaMelech and says, what are you doing? You were supposed to kill the animals. You didn't kill them. The reason why he rebuked him on that, because on everything else, Shaul could have an answer. I didn't kill Agag, I wanted to bring him back so Shmuel would kill him. That's the kavod, to let the king kill the king, or let the prophet kill the king. But when it came to the animals, what is he going to say? How come you didn't kill the children? He didn't rebuke him on that either, because the halakha said he had to kill the children as well, but Shaul had mercy on the children of Amalek. Shaul HaMelech said, God doesn't want me to kill these children. If God is so concerned about one Jewish life, the law of Igla Arufa, where you find a body between two cities. And the Torah says you have to go to a great extent to measure to which city the body is closer to. And then that city has to bring in Igla Arufa Kapara, because maybe the murderer came from that city. So for one dead body, the Torah goes to great lengths, you need Kapara. What does God want from these Amaleki children? A bat call came out of heaven to Shaul HaMelech and said, Shaul, al tehi tzaddik harbeh. Don't be such a tzaddik. You're having mercy. But Shmuel didn't rebuke him on that. Shmuel got him on the animals. What are you doing with the animals? And Shaul HaMelech says, what are you talking? I brought him from Amalek. Oh, what's the problem with the animals? Shmuel says, but God told you to kill the animals. Wow, what do you mean? It's the people's fault. They told me to do it. It already diverts the blame to the people. Then he comes along and says, we wanted to bring them as korbanot. Shaul HaMelech says, "Ahefetz Hashem be'elim." Does God want sacrifices? Kitov kitov shekishema tov mezevah. Which is, God, rather you listen to him than bring a sacrifice. Then what does Shaul HaMelech say? Hatati. So since Shaul's confession of the sin, well, I should say the admission of the sin, it took time for him to say hatati. So God said, if you would have said hatati immediately, you might have had a second chance. David HaMelech that might have committed maybe a greater sin, because it's Hilul Hashem, his greatest sin. But since once Natan rebukes him, he doesn't give excuses. He doesn't say it's his fault, it's that one's fault. I'm guilty. You see, when somebody admits he's guilty, there's two benefits. Number one, it's an immediate admission, which is very good. And number two, there's a recognition that you committed a sin, and therefore you'll have regret, therefore you'll make a proper teshuvah. Shaul, for the first couple of times around, he's telling Shmuel, I did a mitzvah. I did the right thing. I didn't kill the animals so I can bring them as sacrifices. So it's very hard. If you think you did a mitzvah, and then all of a sudden you're backed against the wall, you say, okay, I sinned. But in your brain, you already justified that you did a good thing. So to rake a full teshuvah on such an item is very difficult. Therefore, Shaul, even though his crime might not have been as severe, God doesn't have patience for Shaul, and he punishes him, he loses the kingdom. Where David, right away, says, it's wrong what I did, I'm not justifying it, I didn't do a mitzvah, I wasn't... And mind you, based on last week's shoot, David HaMelech had tremendous justification. He could have told Natan and David, what are you talking? She had a divorce. Mi'un, we went through the whole subject. Everything's fine. Uri has Mored b'malchut. I mean, whatever the Gemara says about David HaMelech, he could have said for himself. David HaMelech wasn't looking for any loopholes. Natan Navi is a prophet of God. If the prophet's coming and telling him such a thing, it means he did a chatati. Borei Olam says, Gam Hashem Ivir chatatecha lo tamut. God says, David, I heard your plea, I heard your admission in court. Lo tamut, you're not going to die. So you see the value of making teshuvah immediately. Okay, all this is outside. Now we must go to the rigorous job of reading the text, reading the pesukim. It's always much easier to tell stories outside about David HaMelech. But then when you have to break your teeth on the Pesukim, it becomes a little more difficult. But that's the subject of this class, reading Tehillim. I should say learning Tehillim. We're up to Pasuk Het. Hen emet hafasta batuhot ubsatum chokhmat odi'eni. Which literally means, David HaMelech says, behold, you desire truth in the concealments, and in my innermost heart, you revealed to me wisdom. Batuhot is a reference to the kidneys. That's called the concealments. And our rabbis tell us that the kidneys are considered to be the seat of human intellect. If you would ask me, I would say human intellect is in the brain. But it seems advice, counsel, depth, that's a product of the kidneys. So David HaMelech says, Hen emet hafasta batuhot, which means, forgive my sin. It was a temporary lack of judgment. And restore for me that emet that is found in the concealed parts, in the kidneys. Upsatum chokhmat tudi'ini. And in the innermost heart, you revealed to me wisdom. That's, you've taught me the ability from the heart to confess my sins. Now, the Ben Ish Chai over here had an interesting derasha on this pasuk, was worthy to say. Every Hebrew word has the galui part of the word and the satum part of the word. The galui part of the word is the word itself. For example, chokhmah, that's the revealed part. Het, chukaf, mem, he. That's the galui. What is the satum? What's the matter, gentlemen? What's the satum? The satum are the hidden words. For example, how do you spell the letter het? Het yod taf. So yod taf would be the satum. That's the hidden part of the word. Now, since we used chokhmah as an example, let's take all the satum letters of chokhmah. Well, let's help us out. Het yod taf. So yod taf is satum. Keep in your brains, yod taf. Chaf is a peh. Peh is satum. So they have a peh. Add the peh to the list. Mem is mem. So mem is satum. And then what do you have? Heh. Heh is a letter. Aleph. Heh, aleph you have. So if you take all the letters of the satum of chokhmah, says the Ben Ish Chai, you're going to spell the word petain. A peti is a fool. David HaMelech is teaching us a lesson over here. That everybody is considered a fool, a peti, until Borei Olam provides for him, the chokhmah provides him the wisdom. So the pasuk says like this, Upsatum chokhmah, on the satum of chokhmah, what's the satum of chokhmah? Otiyot petaim, which is fools, todi'ani, so you taught me, which means you turned the peti into a chacham. And that's what Torah says, Torah Hashem Timimah, Mahkim Peti. The Torah itself makes some imbeciles into Tamid HaKamim. Another interpretation, the Ben Ish Chai says, that a person doesn't come to the conclusion of correct halakha until he makes a mistake first. You'll notice in life, when does a person clarify halakha? He has to mess up once or twice first. Which means a person has to make a mistake. And I come to the rabbi, I went today and I did this. Was it okay? Oh, he did wrong. Oh, nice as well. I better open up the halakha. What am I supposed to do? So from the mistake, usually comes the reason to have chokhmah. So that's what the pasuk says as well. Upsatum chokhmah, which means sometimes by being a peti, todi'ini, you teach me. Which means my mistake is the reason for my wisdom, because that inspires me to understand the halacha correctly. Pasuk tet. Tehateeni be'ezob ve'etar. Techebeseni u'meshelek albin. What is being said over here? David HaMelech says, God, tehateeni be'ezob. Purge me or purify me with a hyssop, and I shall be pure. Techebeseni, cleanse me. U'meshelek albin, and I shall be whiter than snow. Now, what is the reason why David HaMelech asks to be purified with a hyssop? We know that the ezov is the hyssop that's used to purify somebody that has leprosy. David HaMelech, according to the Midrash, actually had leprosy for 6 months after he committed this transgression. That was one of his onashim. So he's saying, please, Borei Olam, I need the ezov in order to become permissible again, to become tahor. Furthermore, the Gemara says, why do you use a hyssop at all to purify a leper? So it says because the hyssop is a very low bush, it's an herb. With the hyssop, you need also an etz eriz. You need a piece of cedar wood. Those are two opposites. The cedar is a big, tall tree, and the hyssop is a small little bush. Why would you need both of them together? So explanation is because a person gets sara'at sometimes because he's a ge'eh, because he's arrogant like a cedar tree. So they're telling him, learn the lesson, you have to be like an ezov, be like a hyssop. So you hold both of them together, and you say, my mistake was that I was a etz eriz. My tikkun is to be like an ezov. So David HaMelech is going to the root of sin. The root of sin, or what makes a person go take somebody else's wife? Because you think you can do whatever you want. He says, so the fact that I was the king, so it got to my head. So therefore, I need the musar. Where do I need my musar from? Tehateeni be'ezov. Let me learn the lesson of the ezov, which is the lesson of humility, of anava, that it should be small like an ezov, not to be inflated. Ve'etar. And cleanse me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Now, on this pasuk over here, I saw one of the mefarshim bring down that grammatically the pasuk is saying like this. The word ve'etar sounds like it's an automatic. Just sprinkle me with the ezov and the holy waters. Ve'etar. It sounds like an effortless type of purification. But then it says, techabeseni, cleanse me u'meshelig albin. Albin sounds like you need effort. It has to be done where David has to exert energy in order to make this cleansing. Because if it was an automatic, the pasuk would say, ve'etlaben. Etlaben means, and I will just be cleansed automatically. Albin is mashma that the teshuvah of David HaMelech needs his own application. It's not just an easy sprinkling of some water on him. So the books bring down that there's two types of averot. There's the averot that teshuvah helps. Teshuvah is accomplishing to atone for sin. But then there's a certain avera that the Zohar Kadosh writes, there's no teshuvah for such a sin. And therefore, it's not an easy teshuvah where you can just get sprinkled and the sin goes away. The Zohar says, which sin is this? This is sins that have to do with the Yesod. The sins that have to do with the Anyanim of Kedusha. Chas v'shalom, the Pigam of the Brit Milah, for example. The Zohar says there's no teshuvah for such a thing. What does it mean, there's no teshuvah? The person is going to say there's no teshuvah. How can it be no teshuvah? Then the people are doomed. So what the books bring down is that normally when it comes to certain averot, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help a person make teshuvah. He'll inspire him. He'll give him a certain message, a certain izuk. But when it comes to these avonot, person's on his own. It must come from within, and the teshuvah must be a very severe teshuvah. It has to be bibhinat
umishelig albin, which means he's going to have to apply a tremendously boon. It's not going to be easy, but it's done. And our rabbis tell us that nobody should think that these avirot cannot be atoned. Even Elisha ben Avuya, where he heard a voice from God that said, Shuvu banim shovavim chutz me Elisha. Everybody could make the Shuvah except for Elisha. But what? That was just a test for Elisha. Even Elisha was able to make the Shuvah. God was just trying to test him and saying, hey, Elisha, you're out. But Elisha shouldn't have listened to the bat call. He should have said, I have a tradition. Anybody can make the Shuvah. And the truth of the matter is, with all of Elisha ben Avuya's sins, whatever they were, he ended up getting back into Gan Eden. So if Elisha ben Avuya was able to get back to Gan Eden, even though he himself didn't make the teshuvah, it came through his students bringing him into Gan Eden. Kal vachomer, when a person commits his own sins and makes his own teshuvah, no matter what the sin is, God will receive it. But when it comes to these sins, it has to be a stronger teshuvah. It has to be mishelig albin. As a matter of fact, the Ben Ish Chai writes, there's a Gemara that says, Kol ma sheyomar lecha ba'al habayit aseh, chutz miseh. Gemara says, the law in hospitality. Whatever the host tells you, you have to listen. Except when he tells you to leave. Now what does that mean, chutz miseh? It's my house. If I'm fed up already with the guests, I don't want to tell them, listen, it's getting a little late, could you please leave? What are they going to tell me? Oh, I'm sorry, chutz miseh. You know, we're staying for the weekend. How does that work? So the simple pshat the Gemara means, you could listen to anything the Baal HaBayit tells you. I mean, if he says, please sit down, stand up, eat something, you're at the whims of the Baal HaBayit. But if he tells you, tseh, go out and do something that's beneath your kavod, do me a favor, could you go to the supermarket, pick up some milk? If you're a type of guy, you don't go to the supermarket, it's beneath your dignity to do such an errand like that. You don't have to do something, but do me a favor, take out the garbage on the way out. I don't take out the garbage in my own house now. I don't have to take out the garbage in this guy's house. So therefore, chutz mitzeh, if he's telling you to do something out of your kavod, that's a simple interpretation. Ben Ish Chai says, nah. You know who the Baal HaBayit is in this Gemara? God is the Baal HaBayit. Kol ma sheyomar lecha Baal HaBayit, anything that you hear from God, aseh. Chutz, except one thing that if you hear God tell you to do it, you don't have to listen. Chutz mitzeh. If he tells you, get out, you can't make the shuvah, you don't listen to him. Shuvu banim shovavim. God told Elisha, shuvu banim, every child can make the shuvah. Chutz me Elisha. Elisha, chutz mitzeh. I don't listen to that. Anybody can make the shuvah. But what? But the Zohar means that these sins are fixable, but it's... And that's why there's a Zohar that writes that if a person has the Kiddushah, Kiddushat HaBrit, Kiddushat HaYesod, the Shem Yudke Vavke manifests, shines on the Yesod. There's Yudke Vavke there, whatever that means. The Shem Hashem is there. That's why if you look at the Torah, always when the Tzaddikim want to make shivua. Where do they make shivua? Simna yadecha tahat yerechi v'ashbi'acha. Why? Because ba'Avraham Abinu, the Shemirat Yesod was so kadosh, it's like you're swearing on Havaya, you're swearing on Hashem's name. This is what it means, why you sing Simna yadecha tahat yerechi. It's like swearing on a Sefer Torah, on the Shemot of HaKadosh Baruch. But Chas v'Shalom, it says if a person is mekalkel, so instead of Shem Havaya, it says in its place, Rahman Estilan, Satan. Which is terrible. What's the numerical value of Satan? What is it? 359. The numerical value of Havaya is 26. What's 359 minus 26? 333. Gematria Shelig. And therefore, David HaMelech is saying, Tehateeni be'ezov ve'etat techabeseni umishelig albin. I will cleanse myself from the difference between Satan and Havaya. Umishelig from the 330. Because once you commit a sin in that area of life, so now already this 359. You want to go back to Yudke Vavke. But the difference is what? 333. So David Melech says, Umishelek Albin. Let me fix myself from the 333 to go back to Shema Vaya. And maybe that's why. I didn't see this written in the Sefarim. But if this is true, we're saying maybe that's why you always hear when you talk about the Arizal and all the different types of afflictions that they did. One of the afflictions, the self-afflictions that Arizal did, was they roll in the snow. They go in the snow, they're out of the shelig. What's the pshat? Where'd they get this? But maybe it's because since that's the, you're looking for that gematria, that number, the shelig is a very significant item. They said Arizal used to go in the, and he brings out a tikkunim, like if it's snowing outside, roll in the snow. Who's going to do such a thing today? Today, we're weak. Like we said many times, to do all these type of items. Even to mention them, we have halishut. How can a person roll in the snow? He's going to get sick. He's going to get a cold. We don't know how the Arizal and Maharcho used to do these things. But that's what it means. Umishelig albina. The tikkun for these things is mishelig. As we said in the shiur recently, today the best tikkun for avonot is exactly what we're doing now. Talmud Torah keneged kulam. This is the best type of tikkun. Just sit and learn Torah, behatmada, without any interruptions. And that cleans. Behesed ve'emet yichupar avon. The pasuk says, with chesed and emet, sins are atoned. Chesed is gemilut chasadim, and emet is Torah. Torah temet. And therefore, that should be our tikkun. Pasuk continues. Tashmi'eni sason v'simha tagelna atzamot dikita. David HaMelech says, make me hear joy and gladness. May the bones which you crushed exult. Now let's discuss what's sason and what is simha. So the Gaon Mevilna has a novel interpretation on the usage of sason and simha. He writes that sason is used on the end of a project. When you finish something, that's already your reason for sason. When you begin a project, that excitement of the beginning of the project, that's already simha. Just a few examples so you can see the usage. In Shabbat morning in the prayers we say, Simehim besetam, sasim beboam. Simehim besetam, we're talking about the sun, when the sun comes out in the morning. The sun rising is the beginning of the sun's purpose. It fulfills its purpose at the end of the day when it sets. And therefore the Pasuk says, Simehim besetam, when they're beginning their project and their purpose, they're simehim, to fulfill the word of God. However, at the end of the day, when they successfully fulfill the entire function, sasim beboam, when they come down, then they have a sason. Similarly, we might interpret a song that we sing on Simchat Torah. There's a song that we have accustomed to sing, Sisu v'simhu b'simchat Torah. I'm not going to sing it for you now, but that's the lyrics, at least, of the song. Sisu v'simhu b'simchat Torah utnu kavod la'Torah. So explanation might be as follows. On Simchat Torah, what are we celebrating? The conclusion of the Torah. We finished another cycle of going from Bereshit to Zot Beracha. So the feeling of that day is a feeling of sason. But it's also a feeling of simha, because on Simcha Torah, once we finish Vezot HaBeracha, we start again the project again, B'Simanat Taba, beginning Sefer Bereshit. So on that day, it's Sisu V'Simhu B'Simcha Torah. First it's Sason for the conclusion, and then it's Simcha for the beginning. If this is true, we can use the Gaon Mevilna's Derech to explain this Pasuk over here. David HaMelech now wants to put this episode behind him. And he wants to now turn over a new leaf and begin fresh again. So now he says, give me success that I can finish the Teshuvah process, which is a long process. Let me be forgiven. I'll hear the word that I was forgiven. Tashmi'eni sason. Let my Teshuvah be a reason to reach the level of sason, and then I could start again from fresh, from scratch, and that'll lead me to what? V'simha. That'll lead me to happiness. Tagel na'atzamot dikita.
What does this mean? Let my bones that got small, let them now, my bones that were crushed, let them get big again. It's based on the Gemara that says in Gittin, Rabbi Hanan ben Zakkai once met Aspasianus, Vespasian, the Roman Caesar. And he told the Roman Caesar, before he was the Caesar, he said, you're going to be the Caesar. And sure enough, in the middle of the conversation, while he's predicting about his Caesarship, he gets a delegation, comes from Rome, and tells him, you're the Caesar. And Aspasianus is very happy. What happened? Aspasianus tried to take off his shoe. He couldn't take off his shoe. So he asked Rabbi Yohanan, what happened over here? So the answer of Rabbi Yohanan was, Shimu'a tova tedashen atzim. A good news causes the swelling of the limbs. Therefore, when you heard that you're going to become the Caesar, and you heard the news from Rome, your body swelled up. So he says, so what's the tikkun? He says, bring one of your people that annoy you, and bring them, let them walk in front of you for a second. Because the pasuk says, v'ruach necheah tivash garim. You know, and a negative spirit will cause the bones to shrivel again. Sure enough, they brought some annoying figure in front of him, and they looked at him, and right away he was able to take off his shoes. So David HaMelech is saying, throughout this whole ordeal, his bones shriveled. So he says, please accept my teshuvah, and as a result, tagil na atzamot. My atzamot now will become swelled again, which means they'll become big again, those that you crushed. It should also be noted that the Zohar HaKadosh writes that Chas v'Shalom, when a person commits an avon, that avon is imprinted on the person's bones, which means the sin itself goes on the bone itself. And as a result of it, it causes Chas v'Shalom, a pegam on that area of the body. And therefore, the pasuk is saying, "Tagelna atzamot dikita." Bring life back to those bones that you crushed, meaning as a result of the sin was on it, and therefore remove it from the bone itself. Comes the pasuk and says in Perek in pasuk Yud Aleph, "Hastir panecha mehata'ay, vechol avonotai mehe." Please, God, hide your face from my sins, and all my iniquities erase. The interpretation might be in this pasuk very quickly, that every time a person commits a sin, he creates an angel of sin. Sin is a reality. There's an angel that's created as a result of it. The pasuk says, God is considered the noseh avon. God carries the sin. The fish of a hata. What does it mean he carries the sin? The sin is intangible. Person commits avon, I mean he carries the sin. The sin is just a transgression. It must, sounds like there's something there. So the Zohar HaKadosh writes, and Rabbi Moshe Cordovero in his Sefer and Tomer Devorah goes to the subject at length, where he says that when a person commits a sin, he creates an angel of sin. There's a mitziut, there's an angel there. And that angel needs to be sustained. Now, it needs an allowance. So technically, God should tell the angel of sin, what are you coming to me for your allowance for? I didn't create you. Go to your father. Go to the one that created you. And Chas v'Shalom, the sins of a person would do him in. Because the sins would just ravage the person. Because they need a sustenance. And if Chas v'Shalom, our sins would sustain themselves from us, Chas v'Shalom, we wouldn't have an existence. So therefore, God does a tremendous chesed. He's the noseh avon. He gives the angels the allowance. He feeds them until we destroy them with teshuvah. He gives us a chance to make teshuvah, because if we didn't have a chance to make teshuvah, the sin itself would doom us. And that's what the pasuk says, Teyasereka ra'atcha. Your own evil is your undoing, which means the sin itself it chases you. And therefore, David HaMelech says to God,
Hastir panecha mehata'ai. Please God, turn your face from my sin. Which means the angel that's prosecuting against me as a result of this sin, don't listen to him. Hastir panecha. Don't listen to the prosecuting angels. Give me a chance to erase him. But in the interim, don't listen to his claims. Give me a chance to erase. Once I erase the sin, so this guy will be erased as well. But in the interim, hide your face from him. Leb tahor berali Elohim, veruach nechon hadesh bekerbi. David HaMelech now comes along on the positive, and he says, please, Borei Olam, create for me a new heart, a purified heart. And he uses the word Elohim. Elohim usually is Midat Adin. Usually when somebody uses Midat Adin, that's the word, it's the name of God of judgment. What David HaMelech is saying, I deserve this. I don't want a favor. I deserve that you create for me a new heart. Why does he deserve it? A pure heart. Because we have a klal. The klal is, Habalit Taher Misayinoto. If a person comes and wants to make teshuvah, God will help him. You have to make the first step. But once you make the first step, it says, Borei Olam comes to his assistance. And therefore, David HaMelech says, listen, I made the first step. I said, Hatati, I'm making an effort over here. Therefore, I deserve your assistance. It's Elohim. It's Bedin. I deserve it. Therefore, Lev Tor Berali Elohim. Veruach Nachon Hadesh Bekirbi. And a new spirit bring into my heart. On this subject, I'd like to discuss for a moment a chidush that I saw from Rav Chida. Rav Chida has a question. I can't believe there's such a question, but he has a question, he has an answer, there's a whole pilpul on this subject. Rav Chida's question is like this. We know that there's a law, it's in the Sefer Midbar Kedemot, there's a law that talks about a person that wants to acquire a field. Somebody sells you a field, you didn't finish the transaction yet, so long as the transaction is not finished yet, each party can say, I want to back out. However, if let's say the buyer did something to the field, one of three things, either he went and made a hazakah. How does he make a hazakah? Either, let's say, he builds a fence around the field. That shows already it's his. Or let's say the fence was breached and he fixed the fence itself. He made that type of hazakah. That already is considered, he owns it. So Rav Chida says, you see, hazakah acquires something. He says, when a person commits a sin, what does the Yetzer Hara do to the person? He makes hazakah. How does he make hazakah? Number one, he builds a fence around the guy that he cannot see the Yetzer Hara Tov, he cannot see the good. He makes a pirtzah. Because one of the ways of hazakah is if there's a fence, you break the fence. That's considered a hazakah. He breaks and penetrates the person's mind and therefore gives him confusion. So basically he says, the Yetzer Hara, after a person commits a sin, he owns you. So how could you make teshuvah? Teshuvah, it's not your body anymore, so to speak. Once the Yetzer Hara causes a person to sin, he fulfilled the laws of Hazakah. And it's in his possession. Could you go take somebody's somebody owns a field? Could you rob it from him? Could you take it from him? I can't believe such a question. That's not how he does the question. He holds that the Yetzer Hara's clutches of sin, there's ownership there. Read his lashon so it can be more clear. He says, "Anu ro'im shegama Yetzer osse et shlosha hazakot ha'ele." Na'al, or the first way I didn't tell you that way. You lock the door. Locking the door is considered a kinyan. So he says, Sotemit Ainav. He locked your eyes so you don't see the right way. So he made a hazakah, he made a ni'ilah in your eyes. Pa paratz, osir piritza. He broke, made a hole in the fence. Where did he make the hole in the fence? Piritza v'chodeh lemoach ha'adam. He broke into your brain and created confusion. Gader, he put a fence up. That's the fence of what? So the Yetzer HaTov cannot get close to you. Na'ilat einayim, piritzat ha'moach, and gathered around him that he can't see the Yetzer HaTov. So he says, the Yetzer HaRa owns you. Yetzer HaRa owns you. So then how does Teshuvah work? Teshuvah should not work. So Rav Hidah gives an answer. He says, that's all nice, but you forgot what it says in the Gemara. Gemara says, a person, when he's in his mother's womb, he only has a Yetzer HaTov. If he had a Yetzer HaRa, Bar Minan, the baby would kill the mother. So Yetzer HaRa is a cruel person. So if God does not put the Yetzer HaRa in the womb, just as Yetzer HaTov. What happens? This is when he comes out and he becomes Bar Mitzvah, that's when the Yetzer HaRa enters him. At 13 years old. So says the Rav Hidah, what do you want? The Yetzer HaTov already owns the guy already. So if the Yetzer HaTov owns, with Yetzer HaRa, you cannot make Hazakah in somebody else's field. Can I go to your field that you own it? And I come along and put a fence up? You're making Hazakah, the Yetzer HaTov was here first. So therefore the claim of the Yetzer HaRa is Hazakah, therefore Teshuvah works. I saw a second answer to this question. The Gemara says in Sota, En Adam Chote Ela Imken Nechnas Bo Ruach Shtut. A person cannot sin unless a spirit of insanity entered the person. Sin is you're temporarily insane. A sane person can't sin. Oh, so what's the law? Can you go now make hazakah on the field of a shote? The guy is mentally deranged. He owns a field. He's mentally, can I go out? Mentally deranged guy. Put a fence around the field. See you later, buddy. I just made the guy's a shote. So when the guy gets better now, right? You can't say, oh, I made a hazakah in your field when you were crazy. Crazy. You have no hazakah when a guy's crazy. So therefore, when the Yetzirah comes along and makes the hazakah on us closer, at that time you have ruashtut. Ruashtut, your hazakah is not a hazakah. Oh, so now we understand what David HaMelech was saying. Go back to these two pesukim. David HaMelech says, Al hester panecha mehata'ai v'chol avonotai meche. God, don't look at my sins and forgive me. I want my teshuvah to work. Are you going to ask me? How can teshuvah work? The Yetzirah made hazakah. I'll give you the two answers. Number one, Lev Tahor Berali Elohim. I was created with Lev Tahor. I only had the Yetzirah Tov. Lev Tahor I had. And therefore he came first. Therefore Yetzirah cannot make hazakah in somebody else's field. And you know what the second is? Veruach Nachon Hadesh Bekirbi. Give me a new spirit, because the spirit that I have till now is a spirit of insanity. Spirit of insanity, Yetzer has no hazakah. Therefore, I'm asking you for a new spirit, because the spirit I have is a crazy spirit. Ruach shtut, Yetzer has no kawah. So that's answering the questions of the Hidah in the Pesukim themselves. It should be noted that this Pasuk we say during the Birkat HaLebana. Our custom is to say it 7 times. Why do we say it during the Birkat HaLebana? What's the significance? And there's a much mention of David HaMelech during Birkat HaLebana. We say David HaMelech is a Havi Kayam, Leb Tahor Berali Elohim. So what's the understanding? So understanding is like this. The moon renews itself every month. The moon gets bigger till it reaches the 15th of the month, and it gets smaller, and then it disappears. And the moon's a cycle is really a remez to the cycle of Am Yisrael. A person during the course of the month, he might commit avonot. He might commit sins. And that's why we have a custom, for example, at the end of every month, and the last day of the month, some people are noheg on themselves, Erev, they consider it Erev Rosh Chodesh, which they call Yom Kippur Katan. What is Yom Kippur Katan? the day before Rosh Chodesh is considered a minor Yom Kippur. Because the tzaddikim, they don't want to wait till the Yom Kippur Gadol. That's already, you have to make calculations for 12 months. They want to keep inventory, at least if they can't do it every day or every week. Every month they make our inventory and clean up the avonot of the month before. And that's why they, Hashem Ma'aseh, they fast on the Yom Kippur Katam. Some have Selichot, Tachanunim, etc. It's a special day called Yom Kippur Katan. And after Yom Kippur Katan is over, that's it, you're cleansed, you're absolved. Now we're ready, we start a new month. And what happens on Rosh Chodesh? On Rosh Chodesh, the moon already comes out again. The moon's disappearance is a symbol of the disappearance of the Jewish soul in sin. But through Teshuvah, it reappears again. And therefore, when we come to stand in front of the moon, it's a very exciting moment because they, just like the moon is able to rejuvenate and renew itself from month to month, so to Am Yisrael, we're able to rejuvenate our souls. And who's the classic example of somebody that committed sin but then was able to rejuvenate himself? David HaMelech. And therefore we say to Birkat HaMelech, David HaMelech is still Chai V'Kayam. Because that's a reminder that every Jew has a chance to make Teshuvah, no matter what the sin is. And therefore we ask God, Lev Tahor Berali Elohim, V'ruach Nachonet, just like the moon is going to a Hadush, Hadesh is Chodesh, it's month. Therefore, just like we're witnessing now the Hadush HaShelebana, and therefore it's a good time of the month, where just like the world is involved in renewing itself, therefore, the Zman is very auspicious. The timing is very favorable. Therefore, what? Just like we just experienced the Chodesh. Now we're experiencing Hadushas Shelebana. So let's do it full. Leb Tahor Berali Elohim. That's the agenda. That's the order of the day. So Leb Tahor Berali Elohim. Veruach Nachon. Hadesh. Bekirbi. That's why that's... So the time of Birkat Nam is a tremendous... It's a positive moment where... It's a rejuvenation. We're coming to us to give ourselves the motivation to make the teshuvah. Let's go one more pasuk. It says, "Al tashlicheni melefanecha, veruach kodshecha al tekach memeni." Literally, that means. Pasuk Yod Gimel, cast me not away from your presence, and your Holy Spirit take not from me. So the Mefarshim over here are explaining that a person commits a sin. The master can forgive the sin, but the master doesn't want to have anything to do with this servant anymore. I forgive you, but you know, you're off the... You're off the payroll. I don't want to, don't, you're fired. I mean, I forgive you. I'm not going to press charges. Mahalti, but you'll go get a job somewhere else. David HaMelech is saying, I want teshuvah, and I don't want to be casted away from you. I want to have the same relationship to be in front of you like nothing happened, which means, in the mashal, a person goes into a store, to the fruit store, Avdil, Chas V'Shalom, and he steals. You know, he has his bag, and he puts a couple of dozen potatoes in the bag, and he steals the potatoes. The fruit man has his cameras. He sees the guy's a kleptomaniac. So he runs back to the guy, open your bag. No, it's nothing. I brought the potatoes from home. He's giving all excuses. Well, you brought the potatoes from home over here. We have you on camera over here. Open your bag. Sure enough, he got caught. Wow, what a busha. Please forgive me, hatati, aviti, pashati. So what does the grocer say? I'm not going to press tazah for you, but I'm warning you. You never walk into the store again. I never want to see your face again. So that's, he got teshuvah, meaning I'm clean, but what? Now you're walking down the street, you see the fruit man walking. You can't look at him in the eye. For the rest of your life, you can never look at him because he caught you, but he forgave you. But eye contact you can't make, there's an embarrassment factor. David HaMelech is asking for Borei Olam, I want the teshuvah to be such a teshuvah that after it's all over, I'm still be able to be in front of you. that you'll erase the sin where you'll be able to look at me, I can look at you, which means I'll be able to sit by you. There will be no strain on the relationship. It's not like, I forgive you, but don't come back here anymore. Al tashlichini milefanecha. Don't give me a teshuvah where you mashlich me. And that's maybe what it means in the Berachav the Amidah, the Berachav Teshuvah. What do we say? Hashibenu abinu l'toratecha, v'karabenu markal v'odatecha, v'ahazirenu b'tshuvah shelema lefanecha. What does this mean, lefanecha, this extra word? Just say, v'ahazirenu b'tshuvah shelema. God, what do we want? We want complete teshuvah. We want it to be absolved. But there's one step after teshuvah shelema. And that is what? Lefanecha, that we could still show face. We could be lefanecha. We could still be in front of you. Al tashlicheni milefanecha. Don't, God, don't cast me away, which means we don't want it to strain the relationship. I don't want it to be, I forgave you, but you sit over there. You're not part of the inner circle anymore. You can't be in front of me. What if I can't be in front of you? You committed the sin, but you forgave me. I forgave you. I'm not pressing charges, but that doesn't mean I have to be your best friend. Oh, so we're saying, but which type of teshuvah shelema? Lefanecha. That we can sit in front of you, there's no busha, it's a race, you embrace us, and that's already the highest madriga. And that's what David HaMelech says, and he concludes and says, V'ruach kodshecha atikach memeni, which literally means that's the Holy Spirit. The Radak says that after David HaMelech committed this sin, he lost his Ruach HaKodesh, and therefore he wasn't able to write the Tehillim, he wasn't able to communicate. So therefore he's saying, now that I'm making my teshuvah, don't take away the Ruach HaKodesh from me. Give me back the Ruach HaKodesh so I can be able to continue to serve you. Rabotai, this is a tremendous musar, all these concepts that you see teshuvah is doable. No sin is unforgivable, even the biggest avonot. Borei Olam is meseyeya. Borei Olam helps those that make teshuvah. He sustains the sin to give us a chance to erase it. Now we understand why the Ben Yuna called this chapter Perek HaTeshuvah, because there's so much yesodot and fundamentals in the mitzvah. So Yirasom should be zocher. So that Melave Melka, we're going to go have now. So that David HaMelech Alav HaShalom. We just learned some of the musarim of David HaMelech Zekuto Yagen Alenu. We should be zocher to make teshuvah Shelema Lefanecha. Amen.